The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A relationship review could be exactly what a couple needs to strengthen their interaction, to help them communicate effectively. What is a relationship review and how can a couple go about conducting one? We find out from Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist. Morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Anton. Nice to hear you.
And you, a relationship review. This sounds like the kind of thing that you have to do every year at work and strikes fear in my heart. What is it?
Well, yeah, you're kind of right. It's sort of akin to that in that it has this kind of overview idea. It's not a kind of, it's to kind of more look at where we're going, what's going well, what needs attention, where should we put, you know, more effort. So it does have, and if you think of it in that kind of project review way, I think that's definitely the lens that it needs to be kind of, you know, the kind of way you need to go at it. But what I would say to people, probably not once a year, probably every season. That's, I think, a very reasonable way. We're not talking about something that's going to take 5 hours. We're talking about something that is 1 hour over coffee, but done in a kind of a very constructive way and not done in a highly emotional way. In other words, you don't come in after, you know, you're not reviewing your relationship because, you know, you've been fighting all the time for the last month or something. Instead, it's things are going well. This is a good time. Let's sit down and look at where we are. How are we doing? What's going well for us? Are we getting uptight about one thing? Is our social life sliding? Are you getting no time to yourself? Things like this. So they're the things that come into a review. And there's loads of good reasons to do it. If I can just say a few of them. I mean, the thing for me that that is really important about it is that it's sort of, it's a lot about acknowledging what's going well. It's a lot about consolidating where you are. So you've got this kind of, I suppose you're talking to each other in a kind of an atmosphere of the future, of growth, of kind of how good are we, rather than you're driving me mad and we're going to have to sit down and talk about this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Which is what, let's face it, it's when the big talks often happen with a couple. It's often when there's been big rows, lots of disagreements.
I understand what you're saying. I still have a sense of trepidation about the concept. Is there not a big risk that what you end up with is people saying, I've been waiting for 11 and a half months to get some stuff off my chest. Brace yourself.
Yes. Good points. Yes. First of all, we're not going to be doing it once a year. Let's say twice a year minimum. Okay. The other thing is trepidation, yes, but it's an equal situation. So you're not blindsided by a review. It's something you agree, we're going to do it twice a year. Maybe you do it just, you know, at the end of the summer or at the beginning of the summer, and you do it again in January. They're kind of reset times in all our lives. And the thing is, both people come to it knowing that this is on. So it's not like it's a big surprise. The other is that before people talk, they know that they should be thinking up two things that they're very happy about in the relationship, two things that need, you know, to be really acknowledged and consolidated, you know, that super happy about this, or feel, you know, really feel loved, feel I'm attended to, feel don't feel undervalued, all of those, you know, so you can say those things. So the important things get said, and then you really have chosen one or two things that you feel as a couple you could do better together. And you also have the solutions. So you come to that review, if you like, with thoughts about solutions and thoughts about improvement. So you're not coming in to put the other person down. You're not coming in to kind of prove a point. And it does foster that kind of collaborative kind of thinking.
Now, there's something of a pushback against this approach in employment terms, because there's a belief developing that by doing it on a regular scheduled basis, you absolve management of their responsibility to manage on a daily basis. Is there a risk of the same thing in relationships, that by saying we do this once a quarter or biannually, you don't give feedback, support, compliments, flattery, mutual respect on a daily basis?
Well, I think it's a lovely and interesting point. And I think that I don't think there is a risk of it, to be honest. I think it is. I think in the relationship sense, the problem is that problems slide, you know, they just slip and slide because we're all so busy in our days. You know, people are busy with their children, with their lives, with their work. And we're together as a couple trying to, you know, build in happiness, trying to build in joy, build in the good times. And it's very easy for couples to slip and slide and not get a chance to say it until they're really irritated by something. So it really is about getting ahead of. I take your point, but I don't think it's a risk factor in the sort of intimate relationship sense. But I think that you would be very surprised how little talk some couples do. You know, I mean, even to myself, it remains a big shock. I know people would say, well, I have a self, you know, a kind of a pre-selected kind of group coming to me, i.e. couples who have difficulties. But it's not just that. Many, many couples I meet who have come to me, say, in an individual sense, and I would sometimes say, well, have you ever mentioned that? No, I would never, we never talk like that. We never talk about emotions. We never talk about our happiness. We never talk about our future goals. We never talk about our frustrations. So what do? You just wait till you have a big fat row and off you go. So I think it's really, it's a way of building this in. And you know, what's kind of interesting, there's a lot of new digital tools, you know, kind of apps around this that are coming out. And I'm really all about the apps, let me tell you, at the moment. And I'm all about the chatbots because I see huge opportunity for people to get a little bit of kind of, little bit of nudging and a little bit of forward thinking, a little bit of psychoeducation. They really are very, very good for that. The whole chat AI, everything. They're quite useful.
There's a bit that was 70 in those kind of conversations. How effective are people at actually correctly identifying the nature of their own concerns and expressing them? Because it's very easy to say, well, I get irked that you don't fill the dishwasher. I get irked that you don't help with this. Whereas mm-hmm. the underlying thing is a sense that I'm not loved or cared for. Do people drill down enough in those kind of conversations?
Well, again, I'm answering a good point. No surprise, good point. But I think that you're right there. Of course, the irritations on the outside often bespeak and speak of something deeper, the not being valued, not being noticed, not being made feel that they're, you know, important enough. Men often report not feeling that they are valued. You know, women also, all that hidden work, not feeling that it is noticed. So I think that it is a risk. But the more you speak, and the more you speak, if you like, and learn to articulate what those sort of emotions are and what those irritations are, and if you do it in an environment where there is a listening going on, then you are more inclined to be able to say what is the deeper thing. And that is also what some of these apps give people, you know, like obviously counselling and therapy gives it to you, but not everybody can afford that and it's not always necessary. But that people can have a look in at what's going wrong and they get prompted to think about, well, think about, you know, this, think about that. They offer them a number of things to think about. And that helps them to wonder, am I irritated about the dishes? Because I feel like I do all the work and I feel it's not being noticed or it's not being valued. You know, is it that I feel his attention is elsewhere all the time and I never become the number one for a while, you know, or vice versa, that can be male or female. But I think that the more you talk in that kind of collaborative way, you're less defended and you're much more inclined to hear and be able to exchange that. But I do think the world of you. I do think, you know, I don't want you to feel like I don't value you because I do. And I'm sorry if I missed out on those dishes, but you're doing it in a time when emotions are not hot, where emotions are not angry. And then you have a chance really to drill down a little bit deeper, I think, in a nice way.
What then about people's capacity to deal with the positive? Well, you talked about doing effectively two negatives or two areas for improvement mm-hmm. and two positives. Is there a tendency that when people talk about things that annoy them, they are very specific and full of examples? And when they talk
Correct.
About positives, it's all very non-specific and unevidenced.
Very general. Absolutely. And when we go back to the work analogy, which you know, the kind of work environment analogy, it is always imperative that the praise that you give people is specific. It has to be with examples because it's meaningless just to say you're a great guy. What does that mean? What does that mean? Because that means something to me and something to somebody else. And it's not very helpful to you, is it really? You know, but if somebody says instead, for example, Anton, the way you listen to me tells me that you're completely focused on this. And that makes a big difference to me in the way that I can answer you back. It's just an example of where you're really, you know, where it's detailed.
Well,
and
Stephanie,
that
the
detail in a relationship really does matter.
The specificity with which you answer the questions and the flattering things that you say in the midst of all of it has been wonderful.
All fun and games. Very nice. Thank you so much, Anton. Mutual Thanks. Admiration Society.
Thanks very much, Stephanie. That is Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist. 53106 if you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-106.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.